He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And because he came, he changed everything. Now, sometimes we hear a statement like that when you say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? He changes everything. I mean, he hasn't changed the politics. There's still evil in the world. There's still all this stuff. But he's changed us. He changes the inside of us. He changes things in a way that we can have peace in the midst of the storm, that we can have certainty in the midst of the chaos, that we can find strength when we just don't have anything else in there. We can find hope for a tomorrow that's better and an eternity that's awesome. We can trust in Jesus, and the more we trust him, and you keep hearing this in sermons that I give you, but the more and more we trust him in this world, the more and more of the good stuff that he came to bring us, we experience in this world. You know, on Monday, Thursday, and Monday, Thursday is an interesting service, isn't it? I mean, the disciples were all there. Jesus was saying all these powerful things, and they just missed, like, all of it. I don't know. They just missed it, and then everything changed, and then by Sunday, they still didn't get it, but when he rose again, everything started to crystallize again. The night before Jesus was crucified, he made a very peculiar statement. He said this, and really nobody who heard it understood. In a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. Jesus shares those same curious words with us this morning. He's just saying Easter's about coming alive. It's about getting it. It's about being transformed by the fact that he's come again to save you, to rescue you, to heal you, to give you peace. In other words, Jesus Christ proved he was who he said he was. He says, I'm going to let them kill me and put me on a cross. I'm going to spend 3 days in the ground combating Satan, spending time in hell, and then I'm going to rise 3 days later so that I could prove to everyone that I am who I say I am. And then he walked around for a bunch of days in Jerusalem, and ever since that time, history has been divided between AD and BC. Every time you say 2026, you're referring to Jesus Christ. 2026 years from what? From when Jesus Christ came to this earth. And almost everybody, even in 2026, knows that part of the story, but so often we miss the second part of the story, the parts that's for us, the part that involves us, the part that says he included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a far better life, scripture says, than people lived on their own. But you start asking, what's that better life? And again, I'll just summarize it and say, the more we trust him, the more of the good stuff that we get to experience. We're all seeking peace. God gives peace the more and more we trust him with our life. He gives freedom the more and more we trust him to forgive those sins and to give us strength to let them go. The more and more strength we experience to deal with the hard things of life, the more and more hope we have that there is a tomorrow, that there is a day that's better, that there is an eternity that heals all and fixes all things. But the truth is, I think so often we dismiss that. As a result, we settle for less, it seems, way too often in this life because we just forget, or maybe we don't even know that there's something better. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a baby, my parents fed me Gerber's strained spinach, and it was awesome. That's what my parents say. They say I loved it, right? I mean, and why did I love strained spinach at that time? Because I didn't know any better. I just didn't, right? They just gave it to me. I was hungry. I ate it. Apparently, I liked it a lot. I don't know. But by the time I went to grade school, I was introduced to SpaghettiOs, and that is way, way better than strained spinach, all right? And then I went to college, and I was introduced to In-N-Out Burger, and I thought, now we're talking. This is definitely something better in life. But when I was little, I just didn't know any better about the strained spinach. I've had a lot of amazing food since, and I never want to go back to strained spinach. Why? Because I've tasted something that's just better in life. When Jesus comes again, he's supposed to give you that life. He's supposed to give you that experience of something that's better. We don't have to live with the hopelessness of this world because he's promised to forgive us and take us to heaven one day. We don't have to live with the chaos of this world because he's promised to be there for us every step of the way to give us peace, to give us strength, to give us courage and hope. I believe that God brought you here today just so that he could let you in on a little secret, that there is something better, that there's something more than just the good life that we've been sold in this world today. And I say that because after many years in ministry, I just discovered that beneath this, I don't know, this image of the good life, there's a lot of dirty little secrets that nobody likes to talk about. Secrets like people feel exhausted. Does that ring a bell for anybody? They're worn out. They say, I'm tired all the time. I can't keep the peace. Secrets like people are empty inside. And you see that in a lot of mental illness statistics. You see that a lot in the suicide statistics. They say, I don't think I have another thing in me to give. I'm stretched to the limit. I don't have anything more. And in those quiet moments, they start thinking, you know, if this is life is so good, then why am I so exhausted? Why am I so unsatisfied all the time? Secrets like people feel enslaved. Couldn't count the number of times that people have come to me and said, Pastor, I just feel trapped. I feel trapped by my debt. I don't know how to get out of it. I feel trapped by this relationship. I feel trapped by the expectations of the other people in my life. I feel trapped by guilt, by fear, by even my own schedule. I just feel trapped. And even though nobody really wants to talk about these, they ring a little bit too familiar, don't they? And as a result, we find ourselves yearning for that something more that Jesus talked about. We want to come alive. We want this better life that he talks about. We want that peace. We want that strength. We want that hope. We want to be reminded that he's got us. But sometimes we forget or we just don't know where to look. And that's why God sent us Jesus, so that he could show us a way to that something more that you've been craving for. So that he could show you just how much he has to offer. So you start thinking about that, and there's so much that we could talk about today, but I'm just going to give you three things that I think in context of this world of ours is just really helpful, would change a lot of things for a lot of people if they would just grab hold. And the first thing he promises us on Easter, the thing that he offers, is a life filled with meaning. I think the greatest tragedy in this world is not death, but it's living your whole life without even realizing or understanding why you're here or what your purpose in life is. It leads to hopelessness, it leads to confusion, it leads to stress, it leads to anxiety, it leads to this hole in your stomach or in your heart where you know you need to fill it, but you don't know what to fill it with. To go through your whole life without really knowing what it is that you're here for. And we yearn for this. It's just technically true. It's part of the way we're wired. So often we'll fill our lives with stuff trying to find that, trying to fill that void that it seems like God has put inside of us. And as we do, we begin to confuse the full life, it seems, at times with the fulfilled life, but they're not the same thing, are they? A full schedule is not the same thing as a fulfilled life. They're just different in all kinds of ways. So we start thinking, well, maybe if I just get more possessions, right? If I just get this next thing, if I get that speedboat, if I get whatever it is, then my life will be good. But then there's, on the other side of that, always something extra to get. I mean, there's always the next thing. Or if I just accomplish certain things, if I just get married, if I just get that promotion, if I just get retired, everything's going to be awesome. But we get to those next stages and we realize there's always something more to accomplish. So we continue in this search for meaning through hobbies and sports and travel, through relationships and politics, even food. But there's always the next meal, the next election, the next season. These things are all good. They just don't last. So now what do we do? And the answer that the Bible gives us is, if you want lasting meaning in your life, you need to go to the source of all meaning, which is Jesus. It starts in that forgiveness of sins. It starts in that releasing us from the past. But then it grows us through that strength and through that hope, through that looking to work for heaven and not for this earth anymore. Paul says this, Christ gives meaning to your life. And if you think about it, you were made by God. You didn't make yourself. God made you and he made you for a purpose. It's things that he wants you to accomplish in this world. But until you understand that you were made by God for God, life's not going to make any sense. But that's why Jesus came. He came to bring meaning to your life. He came to provide a way to start over, a way to begin again, to create in you something completely different, better than you've ever experienced in this life before. The Bible says that Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised to life for our sake. It's almost a hugely countercultural thing, right? At least in America. Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him. The problem with living for ourselves is we get going on this track and it just seems like it's like a hamster on a wheel and we keep trying to fix things and we keep trying to solve things or experience things or do things that will fill that void. It just never quite fills that void. But Jesus does. In the midst of all the chaos we walk around with, Jesus gives us peace. In the midst of all the guilt and the frustration over the past and the reliving those events, Jesus gives us forgiveness and freedom. In the midst of the chaos of politics or this world around us, he gives us hope. Jesus is just different. God says you weren't made to live for you, you were made to live for me. And when you live for God, you get to get plugged into him and that starts making a difference. It starts giving you meaning. It gives you significance. It's what gives you purpose. And so Jesus could have saved himself from that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels down and fixed everything. But if he had done that, he couldn't have saved you. And so he gave up everything so that you could have everything. He died in sorrow so that you could live forever. I mean forever in joy. He died so that you could have the better life. He also offers you a life freed by grace. I love that imagery of being freed. For you guys that have come a lot, I used to be addicted to sports management games, specifically Madden football, and I would just get geeked out. I would spend all day, sometimes multiple days, playing the stupid game, and as I would do that, I would forget to eat meals, and I wouldn't shower every day, and then I wouldn't say hi to my kids, and I wouldn't invest in my wife, and as you can imagine, they got pissed, and I smelled, and everything was going wrong. Anyway, but I was really into this game. It was really fun, and then when I realized just what an idiot I had been, I get rid of it on my computer. Back in the day, I would get rid of the DVD or CD, and all of a sudden, I feel free. I wasn't in bondage to this dumb game anymore. I could look up and I could see my family again, and they were pretty excited about it. I could smell myself, and that's not so exciting. But I could fix things, right? I could take a shower. I could start eating. I could live my life again. It was like I was given all this extra time. I was freed from being in bondage to my stupidity. He's offering you a life freed by grace. That's kind of a churchy word, so let's look at what it means. Grace is when God gives you what you need and not what you deserve. That's grace. Grace is God saying in the midst of your life, I love you. I see everything and I still love you. Grace is God saying, I forgive you even though you don't deserve a lick of it. Grace is God saying, I'm not mad at you because my son Jesus took away your sin. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second and a third and a fourth and a millionth chance. Grace is God saying you're free. The Bible says this, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. In other words, on the cross, Jesus paid to buy your freedom back with his life so that you would no longer be a slave to sin, to guilt, to worry, to fear, to all those things that sin does to complicate our life. He paid to set you free from all of that. It doesn't take away sin. Sin's still there. You still encourages us not to follow it. It just complicates our life, something fierce, but he takes away the consequence, the reliving it, the past, the guilt. There's a word for this that you don't hear much anymore. It's a word called redemption. To be redeemed means to have your freedom paid for. And the reason we don't use it much anymore is it's a word that harkens back to the slave trading years when people would intentionally buy slaves in order to set them free. So there's people called redeemers back in the day, and they would redeem a slave. Somebody would say something like, slavery is wrong, it's evil, this person deserves to be set free, and so they would what? They would put their money where their mouth was, they would go buy the slave, and then set them free. They would be redeemed. In a lot of ways, that's what Jesus came to do for us, isn't it? To set you free from all the things that keep you hung up, from all the things that entrap you, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups, the sin, all the things that are messing up your life today. He says, I want to set you free from it, and I want to give you a new life of real freedom. In fact, that's kind of the picture of baptism gives us a perfect example of that, isn't it? If you were to do it perfectly, they have the perfect picture of baptism. You would go back like they did in the day, and you take them out to the river, and you dunk them all the way under, right? You just dunk them all the way under, and that would symbolize washing away all their sin, washing away all their bad decisions, washing away all those past hurt memories. And then if you were to do it absolutely right, you let the bubbles come up and then you bring them back up and they go, you know, breathing in that new life, that new air. And as they would do that, receive the forgiveness and a new start and the new beginning that God has for us. It was saying, I'm burying my old self, my old life, the life without purpose or meaning, the life that was stuck, the life that was guilty, the life that was worried. And through this water, I'm receiving a new life, a new beginning, a life where I have been redeemed, freed. And there's a last thing that he gives us, and maybe particularly important in light of our world today. He gives you a life full of energy. We can call it strength, but he gives you a life full of energy. This is an old story. It goes back before COVID, but I want you to think of COVID in the midst of this story I'm going to share. But in USA Today, many years ago, I read this story. In Ridgewood, New Jersey, a worn-out mother named Maria got fed up with her family's overscheduled lifestyle. She was constantly juggling her kids' homework and music lessons and soccer practices and swim meets and ballet and SAT sessions. I can feel my eyes start to twitch as I'm reading through this. But this turned into a citywide revolt against having too many activities. And so the article continues and says, this last Tuesday, the entire town of Ridgewood, New Jersey, canceled everything so that people could stay at home and do nothing. The city family night was called Ready, Set, Relax. School officials promised homework amnesty. Sports teams canceled all their games and practices. Clubs and churches canceled all their evening events. This notoriously overscheduled suburb took a collective timeout on Tuesday. The mayor said, "We're all severely overextended. We're victims of our own success." So they planned a night where nothing was planned. It was recorded that many families actually cooked their own dinner together and helped each other with the cleanup and then played board games unopened since Christmas. And the reason I love that example even more today is that we did go through COVID and everything did slow down in our lives for a season. And we did reconnect with family in a whole different way because we couldn't leave the house. I mean, there was nothing to do. We talked to each other in a different way. We invested in each other in a different way. It slowed us down. And for a lot of people, that had an effect for a moment. They didn't want to go back to the rat race. They didn't want to go back to being overscheduled all the time and just being tired all the time. I want you to think of today and hear the irony in this story and also in our lives. Residents were so addicted to activity that they didn't know what to do, so they asked for a list of suggested activities. Others wanted to turn it into a competitive contest for who had the best family night. No wonder they're out of energy all the time. But I think this is probably just as true for us today on this side of COVID, isn't it? We've gotten right back into the rat race, to that hamster wheel, where we're continually going, where we don't have any time, where we're continually draining our energy and our emotion. And have you ever noticed that when you don't have a lot of patience, some of the littlest things can become big things? You ever get a feeling that there's a beeper going on in your life and you know something's wrong, but you just can't quite figure out what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. So many of us have been running on our own energy, and our battery's about to go out, and we know it, we feel it, but we just don't know what to do about it. We call that living without God, right? We forgetting God's a part of it, forgetting to go to Him. We start living life by ourselves, and it's like living as a practical atheist. But God speaks into this world of ours, and He says, those who feel tired and worn out will find new energy in life. Again, it says, you will not succeed on your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, God's just telling us we don't have to do this by ourselves anymore. He's reminding us that He's got us, that He walks with us, that He'll give us strength, that He'll give us energy, that He'll give us peace, that He'll give us hope, that He'll give us comfort, that He'll give us, well, that He'll give us our lives back in so many different ways. He says instead, plug into my power. Because the same power He demonstrated in raising Jesus Christ from the dead so that He could come back to this earth and prove who he was, who He said He was, right, is the same power that's available to us today. The Bible says again, everybody comes alive in Christ. And the more we trust Him, the more difference it makes. And it's a relationship with Jesus that doesn't come just through religion or showing up to church a couple times a year. It's gotten through a relationship with God. Jesus says, I came so that you could have real and eternal life, a better life than you ever dreamed of. That's why He came. So instead of feeling frustrated and empty and enslaved and exhausted, Jesus says instead, I have a far better life for you. And that's what Easter's about. It's not about the Easter eggs or the baskets. It's about love. It's about forgiveness. It's about the ability to begin again. It's about the better life. And all God's people said, Amen.